said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back here. We're with Country Joe's Chicken Show with Joe Barber, chicken guy extraordinaire. Take it away, Joe.
Hey, here I am. Yeah, we're talking about chickens and all the fun they are and how many people are into chickens now. It's unbelievable. The amount of people that I get calls from and visits from that want to get it, you know, not a lot of chickens, but, you know, like four or five chickens or two or three chickens. And, you know, we were talking earlier about that, about people even in downtown Atlanta that I know have chickens in their yard. The neighbors don't even know it because the hens don't make any noise, you know. So that's the fun part about that. So, you know, we decided over all of this, I joined a chicken club, which was the greatest thing I did. And everybody gets together and we talk about chickens and chicken problems and fun times and all the things to do. And
such a fountain of information because you've done so much research. And I understand we have a guest with us on the line. Nancy from Deltona is calling in. Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Nancy.
Well, thank you so much. Nice to be here.
Hey, Nancy. This is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, this is Nancy, Karen, and everybody. She started the chicken club that I belong to down here in Central Florida, and which has taken off just fantastically. And once a month, they have picnics and meetings and just get-togethers and the whole thing. And Nancy, you know, I told Nancy, give us a call, you know, and tell us about the chicken club and how other people throughout the country can start their own chicken clubs. And so, take it away, Nancy. Tell us how you got going.
Great.
And,
yeah. Well, I decided to get back into chickens back at the beginning of April this year. I used to raise chickens when I lived in Ohio. And I had friends up there who had chickens, so it was great. You know, we could talk about chickens. If I had some extra chickens, we could exchange them. I could give them some. They gave me some. And when I decided to get back into chickens here in Central Florida, I didn't know anybody that had chickens. And I went out on some of the different groups here, on Facebook, like Florida Kickin' Chicken and Chicken Swap of Florida. And I thought, well, you know, but Florida's a pretty long state, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I live in Central Florida. And I thought, oh, great, I'm in Central Florida. And I thought, well, where do you live? And they said, well, I'm in Lakeland. Well, Lakeland's about 2 hours from me. So we here consider Orlando Central Florida, not Lakeland.
Right.
I got to find some. There's got to be people in my area that like chickens. Well, I could not find anybody. So I decided, you know, just got an idea. And sometimes, you know, I have an idea and you make a decision and it just takes you in so many wonderful directions.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to start a Facebook group. So I called it. I thought, well, what am I going to call it, you know? And so I called it Chicken Enthusiasts in and Around Volusia County. If anybody wants to find it, they can just go into Facebook under search and put Chicken Enthusiasts, and it should come up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go to www.facebook.com/groups/chickenaddicted. I have no idea why it's chicken addicted, other than I am.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So I started the group, and I thought, well, and they said, well, add a friend. I said, well, I don't have anybody that I know that's a Facebook friend that would want to be, that has chickens. But my dog, Proven, happens to have a Facebook page. So I added Proven. And we had two people. And then I thought, well, how am I going to get people, human people, to join? So I thought, well, I would create a Craigslist ad. Now, normally Craigslist is supposed to be for people selling things.
Right.
And so I put under farm and garden, I believe, that category. And I had to, in order for somebody to come up in the search, I had to put chickens, ducks, guinea fowl, peacocks, you know, different things they might want to be searching on. Then I had a little paragraph about my chicken club and the link to it. So my first member was Renee, also known as Mucky Nurse. And she has monkeys. And she thought, well, I'm not the only one on here. There's two members.
Mm-hmm.
And then we still laugh about this, how later she found out that one of the members was a dog. So she was my first human member.
Yeah. God.
But it has grown. We now have 128 members in just 4 months.
Wow.
And I periodically put more Craigslist ads on to get new people. Because there's other people like me who don't know who to call, you know. It's such a
great
group.
That works out good, too, Karen. Nancy, it really does, you know.
Because we just put, you know, somebody has, here's one here. I'm just going to read it. One of my girls is sick, runny nose and eyes. I have read on here to use Tylenol 50. Do I inject it directly into her or just fill the syringe and put it in her mouth? So we have people that will come out and reply to that and give her information that she needs. Some of these are people I've met and some people I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But we just had a chicken meeting, a chicken party, we call it, Sunday. And we had about 10 people there, which is a little low, but it was a little far for some people, so they didn't want to drive that far. It was about an hour away for most people. And we just have a chicken gift exchange. We don't exchange chickens. We exchange chicken-related gifts.
Yeah.
Things that are, I've already bought mine for next month, and my husband said if I don't put it away, he's going to shoot it. It makes a noise. So I'm always looking out for some cute little thing that, you know, that people might want.
Sure.
What I gave last month on Sunday was the book, Raising Chickens for Dummies.
Oh, yes.
And
we do a
Chinese gift exchange. So it went to about the third time because everybody wanted that book.
It's true. I have that book.
I wanted it on my my iPad. You know, I wanted the ebook. Uh-huh. So
right.
Because I like to search on things.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have a great time together, and it's just wonderful to have other chicken friends. And we talk about our babies. We exchange babies. If you got something that you want to buy or something you want to sell. You know, or you want some information, there's always somebody that can help you.
It's true, yeah. When I went after I joined, I go on there and I read all of everybody's comments and stuff, and it's very, very informational. I enjoy that a lot, you know, when I'm sitting here, you know. And I think this will probably catch on all across the country, you know, with the amount of people now that are raising chickens, you know, and that have so many questions and nowhere to go, you know. That's the main thing.
Right, building a community around chicken people.
And it's true.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so many people.
A lot of cities are passing ordinances where people can have maybe 3 to 5 hens in their yard. Orlando just passed them, just a few months ago. Deltona, we're trying to get one passed there. Although I don't live in the city limits, I can have as many chickens as I want. There are people in Deltona that want chickens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I have volunteered to be the rescue place at Sutton Farms here in just outside of Deltona for people, you know, because one of the things the commissioners were afraid of, what are we going to do if somebody can't have their chickens anymore? Were they going to turn them loose? Well, I don't think that's ever been a problem with chickens. You know, people always want chickens, especially hens, even roosters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we volunteered to be the rescue point. We will pick them up with the city, or people can call us and bring them here, and we will isolate them. You should always isolate new chickens or fowl when you get them.
For diseases or anything.
Treat them, and then they'll be up for adoption.
Now, Nancy, have you gotten any chickens through this organization yet? Adoption?
Not yet. I had. I understand that there were a couple people that Deltona was. They had. Code enforcement had found out they had some chickens and they were going to have to get rid of them. And I told them, you know, but we're going to ask Deltona and anybody else to put our name and phone number out there if this happens and somebody can't keep their chickens anymore.
Right, yeah.
But I do have some chickens here that I'm fostering for somebody who can't have them, hoping for the code change.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that's a good idea, and you know, also the clubs too. People want to start these clubs where you buy your grain. That's where you advertised out
that
where
is
we buy our grain.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
When out I first started, I knew of one feed store. I didn't know about there were all these feed stores and these mills, places that mill grain.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people saying, "Well, I don't know if I can keep chickens anymore because grain has gone up."
Well, you know, Joe, Nancy, we're just about out of time for this segment. Will you come back with us and we can talk about grain stores and how to feed your flock?
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to talk to everybody today.
Okay.
Right
all right.
Back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk.
I'm a green chicken.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry.
Is your dog or cat a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Save 20% now at supergravy.com. Just enter radio at checkout. Try Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet. Your pet will love you for it.
I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. We have Nancy with us and Joe Barber, the chicken guy.
Hello. We're having fun today talking about chickens. And now we're going to talk about where you get the food to feed them, I guess. And, you know, we've all probably would run into that before we bought the chickens, I hope. there's many, many places. I even think the big stores like Walmart even carry chicken grain, you know. I know they used to around here. I don't know if they do all of them. But I know Nancy and I, we buy ours out at a mill. We get ours custom milled, you know. And we found we were lucky. And I don't know how many mills are around other places, but we're lucky here. We're fortunate. But there's all hardware stores and you know, those kind of places all carry chicken grain. You know, wherever they carry dog food, they're going to carry chicken grain. So, and we did talk about that. Nancy and I have been talking about that. The price of corn has just gone sky high feeding these chickens. And like I say, on my farm, I go through 600 pounds a week. And, you know, down here, I'm paying $83 for a 300-pound barrel. Which goes me, you know, like 2.5-3 days. So, but, you know, if you've got 4 or 5 chickens, it's not an issue, I don't think.
That's right. And you can't just grab a box of cornflakes and sprinkle that in and assume they'll get good nutrition from that.
No, not if you want, you know, good quality eggs, no. But you know, like I say, you know, I get fussy as I do these for the farmer's market. So I make my feed, you know, there's no chemicals, no byproducts, none of that stuff in any of my grain. So I pay probably the premium price. I know I do, you know, for my grain. Regular store-bought grain, you know, for, you know, your chickens has a lot of stuff in it I don't like. So, you know, that's why I get custom milled grain. And I know Nancy does too.
Yeah, Nancy, are you with us?
No, I don't think she is.
I'm here.
Oh, you are still there. Nancy, do you want to talk about how you found the mill and how people might find different sources for their chicken food?
Well, it all started, I started to say before the break, when I first started in the chickens, I only knew of one feed store, and I didn't know where to buy my feed, where to get a good price, or, you know, I didn't know where everybody else was buying it. And then because of contacts I've made through my chicken club, and through other sources, I found out there's all kinds of mills and all kinds of places to buy it. Other, you know, people recommend it. And so that's how I found my places. And the mill, the chicken feed that I've been buying at the mill was like $12 for 50 pounds, which is a lot cheaper than the bag feed you get.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have the same quality either, right, Nancy?
That's right. That's right. And you can choose. At the mill, you can choose what you want to have put in it.
And that's what I do. That's what I think all big chicken, you know, enthusiasts do, you know. Not necessarily quantity owners, but big chicken people that really, really care about their chickens. They want to give them the best, and that's what I do. And the thing is about a grain store is they know a lot about it, and they can tell you, you know, well, we got to put this in, like calcium for the shells and stuff, and the stuff they don't have to put in, like the animal byproducts that are just fillers, you know. And, you know, our grain mill doesn't do that, thank God.
Well, so, or it wouldn't be your grain mill.
Huh?
It would not be your grain mill if it did, right?
That's right.
Chance to take your business elsewhere.
Yeah, but this one here, this guy really works with people. I mean, you know, whatever you want, boy, he really, really does. And like I add flaxseed into mine, so he does it there for me, you know, and that helps the omegas in the eggs go way, way up. So. You know, I got into that, and then we talked about percentages, how much we should put in the whole thing. That's why I, you know, if you can go to a grain mill, I tell people go to a grain mill because, I mean, you can work with a guy that actually makes your grain and watch him make it, you know, and you get a more, you know, a better, fresher product, you know. That's what I like. And, you know, so, you know, like I say, you know, not to poo-hoo the stuff in the bags, but you don't know how long it's been there, you know, in a feed store or whatever, you know, unless you read the date or whatever. But, so that's, of course, when you buy in bulk like I do, you know, you have to have a grain mill.
That's right. But if you're just starting out, you may start out with a bag from the grain store or a bag from Walmart or wherever you can find it.
Yep.
But then while you're using up that bag, that gives you time to do research.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To find more quality food.
Yeah, and that's why I say, you know, that's why.
Chickens like other things, too. I mean, fresh fruits and vegetables are wonderful for them. They love watermelon. They will
eat
almost down to the rind to get the watermelon. They love it. It's very good for them.
And I do too. You know, we feed all our vegetables out here. So all of your table scraps, you know what I mean? You know, when you're skinning your carrots and all of that, the only thing you don't give them is potatoes. Potatoes are bad. Potatoes, they say, are a poison actually for chickens, the plant and the potato itself. But other than that, all the other vegetables, I think are really, really good. So, I mean, that's another thing I learned along the line. You know, I didn't lose any chickens from that, but everybody warned me, oh, don't feed your chickens potatoes. But, you know, vegetables are excellent. And then what they forage on their own, you know, so they really supplement a lot of their own food, you know, with the bugs and the grass. You know, when I cut my grass here, I bag it up and throw that in there, and, boy, they sure just chow that down, too.
My chickens free range all day, so they're out all day eating bugs all day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have we have large fenced in coops. They're 80 feet long. So I guess they're kind of like free range, except for I control them because we have such a large number of red tail hawks out here. Unbelievable. I mean, it's just, you know, when I was free ranging mine, Nancy, it was just like I had a smorgasbord for hawks. You know, it's just, boy, I was losing them left and right. So that's why I built the coops with the wire on the top, you know, cost me a fortune, but I did it. And out here at night, owls, oh, my God, you can hear them things hooting all the time, you know. And so other people, my other neighbors have lost a lot of chickens from God only knows. Now, I've caught a gray fox out here twice in the Catch 'Em Alive traps. I don't know if I caught one twice. I think it's the same one. I don't know. And I take them miles away and let them go. And about 2 weeks later, I caught another one. I don't know if it was his brother, his friend, his wife, or what. But anyway, I have those, and I have seen bobcats out here. But, you know, what I do with my wire cages is I bury the wire 18 inches into the ground when I build them, and I come out like an L shape. I come out about a foot. So if anything tries to dig, and they do, they try to dig, they hit the wire. So that was just another little tip that I had learned that really helped me out here, you know, saving my chickens. But, you know, if you have a small number of chickens, I guess it's easy to free range. But, you know, like I say, out here any given time, I've got between 500 and 700, 800 chickens, and I don't feel like chasing them around at sundown.
That's right, and chickens don't necessarily respond to border collies as well as some other animals do.
No. So I don't know. How do you do it, Nancy? You don't have a large flock. I mean, you can just scoot yours in at night, or do they go in by themselves?
Chickens come home to roost. They're all there. They're in the roost at night. I don't have to go find them.
Oh, wow.
They're all coming, even my guinea fowl, they're all in the roost. Now, you know, some people, you know, I've read that guineas will roost in trees. Well, you do not really want them to do that because they can get killed. Some people, predators can get them.
Right,
mine
right.
all come in at night.
Wow.
Huh. I have peacock. They all come in at night. I have two little turkeys. They come in. They're in a different coop. They come in at night. Because I get nervous if they're out, if they're not out. And I have too many to count. I really can't count them anymore, you know. I started with 10, and I still tell my husband I have 10, but he thinks, see, I have a few more than that.
Well, I know I do. Yeah. And it is a lot of fun. So, you know, like I'm saying, you know, my chickens, I used to let them out way when I had just a few, but it always seems like mine just wouldn't go in at night. I don't know why. You know, they want to run in the bushes or everywhere out. So, you know, I never had good luck.
Well, Nancy's flock is a good example of chickens do come home to roost.
They come home to roost. Yes, they do.
And we're out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the bike tow leash. There is nothing like the bike tow leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike tow leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike tow leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
On All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And now we're going to make your puppies feel better. And your dogs. And your cats maybe too. Going to stop them from scratching. Going to stop them from having their upset stomachs. Because we're talking to Steven from Healthy Goo. And he's got something new to tell us about. Welcome to the show, Steven.
Healthy Goo greetings to you, Deborah, as well.
That sounds like a messy greeting, Healthy Goo greetings. Would my hand be dripping with peanut butter after a greeting such as that?
Well, as Dr. Kristen, our medical director, says, the best therapy, drug, medicine in the world is useless if the patient is not compliant. And we use peanut butter to make sure our active ingredients are brought to your dog. And we know dogs just love peanut butter.
It probably makes it stay in the mouth longer than normal, too, where there's a lot to be absorbed. It's an interesting technique before even entering into the stomach.
Exactly. There's a goo method to our goo madness. You're exactly right. As we all know, it takes a while for peanut butter to move out of the mouth into our bellies. And the goo presence does support the bioavailability of the active ingredients to be sublingually absorbed through the thin skin of the mouth into the blood.
That makes sense. That's almost like the homeopathy-type treatments where you have to put it on the back of your tongue and you're not supposed to swallow it. Or some of the new medicines, too, quick-dissolve medicines. So that makes sense. And the dog's mouth, wow, is that ever more effective than ours, wouldn't you say?
Very much so. If you look at bioavailability of medicines taken orally, once they move through the stomach and liver and move finally to the blood, you're looking at probably a 15% bioavailability to the blood. But with sublingual, it's closer to 95%. So what we're doing is not so much amping up the quantity of the active ingredients in our goo products, but rather through the sublingual, we're able to bring them right to the bloodstream without any loss at the stomach or liver.
That's very smart. And think of the waste and the toxic effect on the body to have to deal with all that, when really it could just go right in.
Hugely so. The liver is a very important organ, as we all know. Fatty liver is a chronic illness in our humans, and the less strain you can put on your liver, the better.
The liver is what is shutting down in these pets that have been fed the chicken jerky products from China. It's a terrible thing, really, really dangerous. And I've actually recently had a dog who was elderly and had a tumor on her liver, and then the tumor expanded dramatically. Mitzi was her name, and she had to be put to sleep. So you can't live without your liver. You really can't.
It's an organ that people don't think much about, and kidneys are another very important organ. And whether you're two-legged or four-legged, keeping an eye on both of the performance of those organs is critical.
See, now I'm thinking about Mitzi, what a sweet dog she was, and how she rode between my kids in the car to the emergency clinic and then again to the all-night care clinic, and how sweet she was. And so I just want to think about Mitzi. But all the dogs out there who are having upset stomachs and throwing up, one of the things we learned last week from one of our doctor guests was that that can be the precursor to diabetes later, and that you really have to get on that. That seeing a dog who's constantly vomiting or, you know, sensitive to what it's eating and having allergies, maybe chronic ear infections, maybe problems, if you've got an unhealthy gut, you've got a problem. So can we talk about that a little bit, Stephen, how you're addressing that part of the dog?
Oh, you're exactly right, Deborah. Again, speaking about aspects of the body that are often not thought about, the gut is not a very glamorous-sounding word. But when you take a look at the gut, we're talking the stomach, intestines, and things like that. But there's a lot going on down there. And when you look at the immune function of the body, about 70% of our immune system is based in our gut. And we've got a lot of bugs going on in our gut, but it's that delicate balance, that ever fight between good and bad bugs, bacteria bugs, in our guts that really plays a dominant role in our overall health. Now, when you take a look at the gut, we recently launched our second product after Doggy Goo, which is focused on neutralizing allergies in our canine buddies. We launched Goo Gut Rescue because we found that many of the dogs that were coming to us for allergies had licking issues, as is common with allergies, but that licking produced open wounds that unfortunately became infected. Now, infection is addressed within the health community with antibiotics.
Normally,
and antibiotics change the world. Yes. Yes.
It's like a garden in there, and the antibiotics just kill off all the good things in the garden, all the good bugs and stuff.
Exactly. They're a double-edged sword. Yes, they do kill the bad bacteria bugs that they're supposed to, but the other side of the coin is that they also kill the beneficial good bacteria bugs in that gut. And what happens is that while the protocol of antibiotics is taking place, these bugs are being decimated. The beneficial bugs are being decimated in addition to the bad bugs. And what happens is that unless you aggressively, proactively reseed the gut with beneficial good bacteria probiotics supported by prebiotics, your gut will be left helpless, sterilized. And what happens is that the gut becomes redominated by pathogenic bad bugs. And these bad bugs set up camp in your gut, and they not only compromise the daily functionality of nutrient breakdown and absorption, but over time these pathogenic bugs begin to compromise the integrity of the gut lining itself. And then you have stuff, that's a medical term, you know, stuff from the gut moving through these porosity of the gut lining into the blood, where they're attacked as the enemy, and it sets into motion a whole cascade of a lot of a lot of different things. So, yes, Deborah.
You know, this sounds very familiar to the people situation. You know, you're going on a trip. You want to strengthen your stomach before you go and maybe have water that you're not so sure of. Maybe you're going to a place where things are just different from what you're used to, like Mexico. You might have acidophilus before you go. You might take it the whole time you're there. You might choose yogurt over other foods, you know. And the same for women. When we're on antibiotics, oftentimes that can have yeast problems. So we'll be drinking cranberry juice and we'll be eating lots of yogurt when we take antibiotics. Okay, well, pets aren't that different from us. If you give them antibiotics, they're even less able to deal with it than we are. So they need something after to deal with it, to get their system back in balance, right?
Exactly so, exactly so. Because if you don't, again, you have to proactively, aggressively reseed the gut. You'll have that redominance by pathogenic bad bacteria bugs. And the fact that, again, 70% of our immune system is in the gut, that just sends ripples of bad health through the entire system. And what may appear to be a random bad health issue over here is often a function of the gut being out of balance.
Okay, now I've talked to allergists before, a natural nurse who said that your gut and your allergies are exactly in link, that I forget if it was 85%, I think it was, that the body, of the places in the body where nutrients go through is in the gut, and any allergy you might have is most likely to be coming from something you eat. So when you talk about giving dogs peanut butter cures for these things, it totally makes sense. All right, so how do people reach you? We've got 1 minute left. If they've got a dog that's got itchy ears, chronic ear infections, itchy skin, all kinds of shedding problems, any kind of allergy like that, or a bad gut, vomiting, belching, gas, discomfort, what do they do? How do they reach you?
Well, Deborah, thank you so much. We would just suggest the pet parents start with our Healthy Goo website, healthygoo.com, and that'll take you to our Doggy Goo and our Goo Gut Rescue. And we're also about a month away from launching our Silver Goo for our senior varsity dogs.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, everybody, take care of your pets. Check out Healthy Goo and Healthy Gut. And thank you, Stephen, for being on the show with me today from All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Everyone, he just said pet parents, and I know that's a peeve of Cesar Millan, my colleague. He doesn't like it when humans call themselves parents of dogs. What do you think about that? Let us know on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Are you your dog's parent or your dog's owner? Are you their companion? What are you to your dog? Think about that, everybody, from All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
We're back with Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. Take
Hello.
It away, Joe.
Yes. And Nancy, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you were or not. Okay. Nancy, on the Chicken Club thing, I wanted to get back, touch back on that. The style or how you do it, is that was kind of something you created on your own, wasn't it? You know, like the parties once a month and the whole thing.
Yes, I did. I'm a social, very friendly person, and I like, you know, if somebody comes to my house, I want them to feel at home. I want them to feel that they're welcome, and that's why I want the Chicken Club to be.
Yeah.
Whoever decides to host the party, I ask them to send me a picture, and then I change our group photo.
Right.
And advertise their, you know, their location or their party, and then they create an event, and then people can, and we send an invitation to all the members, and they can tell us if they're coming or not.
Right.
But yeah, it's just something I came up with. I just kind of created, and it's, and you know, what I try, what works is fine, what doesn't work, I don't do again. But you know, it's one of the parties I had at my house was a coop building. People come over and help me build my coop.
Boy, that's a good idea. Yeah. Boy, I could have used that.
It was really hot because here in Central Florida in the summer, it is hot.
Yes.
We started very early in the morning, and we quit pretty early. We had a chicken barbecue. I will say it wasn't my chickens, but I haven't quite got to eating my own chickens yet, but that probably will happen eventually.
Oh, my God. I raise my own meat chickens and my own turkeys here, and I'll tell you, they're delicious because there's no chemicals. I don't worry about anything. You know, of course, I process my own, too. I've been doing that for years. And, you know, when it comes time to host mine out here, Nancy, I'm going to have a chicken barbecue, and it's going to be all Joe's chickens.
Oh, that'll be wonderful, Joe.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the same thing with the turkeys. You know, I raise about 100 turkeys a year, and I – Everybody wants one of my turkeys, you know. So, I mean, those are, like, gone.
Oh,
you know?
Well, I have two turkeys.
Uh-huh.
I bought one of the pea chicks. The lady at Angel's Rest Farm up in Ormond Beach, she gave me a little turkey. She said, well, this turkey's been with these pea chicks, and I don't want it to be all by itself. I said, okay. So I brought it home. I showed my husband. I said, oh, look, I brought home Thanksgiving dinner. And he looked at me and said, I can't eat my little buddy. I said, well, what are we going to do? Invite him to dinner, put a bib on him, and give him a knife and fork, and we're all going to eat hot dogs? So I guess that's what we're going to do.
Well, you know, that happened to me, you know, and I raised a lot of turkeys and a lot of chickens in the past, but I hit this one turkey. He's 2 years old now. It's a female, and I still got her as a pet. From day one, she followed me around and followed me around, and she still does. And I named her Lucky, and she's still on this farm, and she's watched them come and watched them go.
And you know, Joe, you should definitely nominate Lucky for Pet of the Day, because, you know, we don't get a many turkeys that get to live long enough to be Pet of the Day.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I got some pictures here that are really, really cute that I have of my turkey with a sign hanging around his neck. And I made a little chef's hat, and I got Lucky's wearing that, and I got two paper plates outside the chicken coops. You can see the chickens in the back, and it says Lucky's Diner, Fresh Chicken Daily, and he's standing there with his chef hat on. This turkey just lets me do anything. And then I got another picture of him with another sign around his neck that says Eat More Chicken.
Oh, Joe, you've got to post those on our page.
I will. I've got the pictures hanging up over my desk, you know, and everybody laughs when they come in and see them. But Lucky is just one of those turkeys. Usually turkeys aren't friendly. I can tell you that. This turkey here has just been a joy. I mean, loves to be pruned and follows you around. And, of course, she's so big now, I had to cut her back on the grain. But she just walks around the barnyard all day long. And, you know, I scoot in. You know, I can let her out in the morning, and I go out there in the afternoon, and she hasn't moved 20 feet. You know? She finds a place under the tree and just lays there, you know. But, I mean, you can pick her up. She doesn't really like to be picked up, but, I mean, you can play with her, and I put hats on her, and she stands there and lets you do anything, you know. So that's my turkey story with Lucky. You know, she's been around, like I say, she's going on, I think, her third year now. She's watched them come and watched them go, but she was just an unusual turkey. I've never seen a turkey that was that friendly. I mean, you know, even, and I raise them from day old, and I treat them all the same, but this one here just stood out, and, you know, and she's the family friend. You know, she'll be here for all her life, I guess. We'll see how long a turkey lives. So, and on that other note, I was telling Nancy, this is interesting, Karen. Of course, I get a lot of chickens in through here in a year's time, you know, in the thousands mm-hmm. sometimes. And I just got a three-legged chicken.
Huh. And it gets around okay? Does it use all three
so
legs?
So far. No, it doesn't. The back leg just kind of hangs off, you know, off his back end. But other than that, he eats good, runs around good. He's just got a third leg hanging on him, you know. And I thought, wow, that's unusual. So that was new to me. And like I say,
if you could duplicate that, you'd make a fortune in drumsticks.
I guess. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but yeah. But, she seems to get around. I mean, it's a young chicken. It's only about a month old. But, it's interesting. I'm going to be posting some pictures on that on my website, too, you know. That'll be fun to look at. I've never seen one before. So I don't know if anybody else has or how unusual they are. But
I can tell you I've never had a three-legged chicken nominated for Pet of the Day, and we've been doing it since 1997. So.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe I'll post that one, too. That'll be interesting. Yeah,
that's right. You know, and Nancy, you can nominate one of your chickens, too. If you have one that's extra special to you, you can nominate it for Pet of the Day.
Well, I don't know how much more time we have, but I raised Araucanas. And that's a tufted, tailless, or rumpless chicken that lays blue eggs.
Uh-huh.
And I have this little chicken. Two tufts, and I call him Tufty. It's my favorite chicken, Tufty.
Ah. Wow.
But she doesn't do anything special. She doesn't lay eggs yet or anything.
Uh-huh. Well, there, we can put that on Pet of the Day.
I think the friendly turkey would win, really.
Well, I'm going to post those. You know, I'll send some of those to you, Karen, so you can look at Lucky. You know, that'll
That's
be fun.
Right. And it's a new Pet of the Day every day, so maybe you're a little Araucana chicken. You know, I always wanted one of those when I was a child because blue is my favorite color. And I thought, how cool would that be to have a chicken that laid blue eggs for me?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I want to mention, too, on the Araucanas, that's Araucana. If you go to a feed store or go to order them online, they'll tell you, they might tell you they're an Araucana or Americana. You're not going to be getting an Araucana. You're going to be getting an Easter Egger. An Easter Egger is any chicken that lays colored eggs. It's not a pure breed. So make sure that if that's what you really want, I mean, these are a very special, unique chicken. If you want an Araucana, you have to get them from a breeder. You're not going to find them at a hatchery or at a feed store. They will tell you that's what they are.
Yep.
That isn't what they are.
Aha. Uh-huh. See,
yeah, Araucana only lays blue eggs. An Easter Egger can lay green, blue, a kind of a beige color, different colors. And that's fine for a lot of people. That's what they want.
Uh-huh.
They want their variety.
Especially kids. I bet you kids would really go crazy over that around Easter time. You know.
And we have chickens that lay really dark, almost like a dark red egg and a dark brown egg. I mean, chickens lay all different kinds of colors of eggs. But each particular hen will only lay that color.
Yep, yep.
You know, one hen is going to lay a blue and a green. And
those of us who live in the city and only see the eggs in the store, now you're beginning to see packages of specialty eggs. So I know that that's more than one hen if there are three different colors of eggs in
that's
the package.
Exactly right.
Right,
now, we're almost out of time for this segment. Will you stick with us? We'll be back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk.
I'm a great chicken.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But doggy goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try doggy goo. Your dog will doggy goo. Look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
We're back on All Paws Pet Talk with Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Yeah, we're talking about chickens that lay colored eggs. That's very interesting and a lot of fun. I can't imagine, you know, anybody who wouldn't want something like that, you know, especially if you have kids, you know. That's the fun part about it. I think the whole thing, these people that I know in Atlanta, they got some chickens that lay colored eggs, and their kids just go crazy every morning. This is the big thing, is going out and getting the eggs and having the eggs for breakfast, you know. And now he tells me that the kids want to save the eggs. They don't want to break them anymore because they're so pretty, you know. So I told him, I said, well, you're going to have to get two hens that just lay regular eggs, you know.
Well, that's when you learn a skill that I learned as a child, is how to blow the contents out of an egg with making little tiny pinholes in the end. And you develop really good cheek muscles by doing that, I'll tell you.
Yes, I can imagine. I can imagine doing that, you know, putting the pinholes in each end. I did try that a long, long, long time ago, and I know what you're talking about, how hard it is to blow an egg out. Wow. Jeez. But anyways, yeah, that's a fun part. And the other thing is, I used to have an emu here, you know, like the smaller of the ostrich, and that laid eggs out here. And of course, I only had that one emu in it, and I tried to do the same thing. I drilled it out, you know, tried to blow out the contents of the egg. Wow, that's thick.
Yeah, they look like dinosaur eggs. Those are completely amazing. If no one, we're on the radio, so we can't show people a picture, but they're dark green and just look amazing.
Yeah, they are. You know, I had one around here for a long time, and it ran off, you know? So, God, I don't know. It still doesn't, to this day, don't know what happened to it, you know? But it jumped a 5-foot fence like it was nothing, you know? And they told me, well, 5-foot fence, it'll be all right. But, you know, that was another thing I wanted to get, is get a couple more emus, because they are so fun. You know, I enjoy the big birds like that, you know? So, that, you know, like I say, until that time, you know, I was going to get my Malay rooster. I'll have a 3-foot rooster. That's my next gold, I guess, you know, is to get one of them.
Now, do you have to worry about the rooster or any of the hens flying away? I know you said your pens have wire over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Every one of my coops do now. You know, like I say, over the period of time, I've done that, you know, just because of the hawks and the owls and the whatnots. So, yeah, you know, the only roosters that I have are for my rare and exotic chickens, I call them. And I do keep the roosters separated, except for when I want, you know, which I'm just getting into. And our other club member here, Renee, has a great big commercial incubator, so I can't wait to get these eggs to hatch them, you know, and then I'll keep mine, and then that's the other nice thing about being in a club, is when you have rare or exotic chickens, you can trade, sell, or the whole thing, so, you know, that's what I'll be doing with mine, you know. So.
Well, Nancy, when you first said, when you were talking about your club thing, that you had a chicken gift exchange, the immediate thing that popped into my mind was everybody comes with their least favorite, their most bothersome chicken, and hands it off to the next person.
No, in fact, we asked for no live animals because some people can't have them, you know, and some people wouldn't want the ones that they might be bringing. Yeah, I only want specific chickens and a specific duck because I don't want to interbreed my ducks or my chickens. And but no, they're just cute little gifts that people might have. You know, it might be a chicken statue, or I got this cute little chicken purse that looks like a chicken at one of the parties. And it's just a fun thing to, and we go get together and talk chicken.
Yeah.
Talk about chickens.
Mm-hmm.
With the ones that lay the colored eggs, do you have to supplement their feed if you want a deeper color or anything, or does it not matter what you feed them? They lay the same color egg.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, they're going to always lay the same color no matter what you feed them. It has nothing to do with what you feed them. It's the genetics. And that's what I talked about, the Easter egger. Any of the chickens that have the gene for colored eggs would be, in this case, an Easter egg, could be mixed with anything. The Araucanas only lay the blue eggs, and the Americanas is another pure breed that lay only one, blue eggs. But, no, you don't have to, they have the same nutritional value, and the unique thing about the Araucanas is the egg is the same color inside and outside.
Wow.
But, no, there's no nutritional difference. It's just unique, and it's kind of a novelty. And, some people that had never heard of it before are going to say, oh, well, they're coloring the egg. But no, we don't color the eggs. The hens lay them that way. So I've got a whole assortment of dark red and dark brown and green and blue and peach color eggs that I get every day.
Jeez. Wow. And you eat them, right, Nancy?
I don't have any white.
Yeah.
No white eggs.
If you were local to me, I'd say, well, save one of each for me. I'll blow it out for you, and you can keep it. But I don't think it would mail well from Florida up here to Boston.
God, I guess not. But,
well, actually, we do buy hatching eggs online, and they're sent. But as far as, the hatch rate isn't as good if they've been in the mail. Because sometimes they get what we call scrambled, and they don't hatch as well.
Wow.
But, yeah, we do ship eggs. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Yeah, I see that a lot of hatcheries do sell those, As a matter of fact,
live chicks, day-old chicks and hatching eggs. You can go on eBay and find them. But, and the Araucanas is another thing with the Araucanas is they don't have a good hatch rate. Because they have little tufts coming out of their ears. They don't have a rump. There's no tail. And they have little feathers coming out of their ears. They have a fatal tufted gene. That means that if you breed a tufted to a tufted, 50% will not hatch. They will die in the shell.
Wow.
It's very hard sometimes to get them to hatch. And that's one of the reasons hatcheries won't sell them. They're very hard to hatch. If you buy hatching eggs on the Internet, you're going to find that your hatch rate will not be good.
Yeah. It's a lot of chickens.
The mailing, the getting scrambled at the post office, and then the fatal tufted gene. If you get 25 eggs, you might get 7 or 8 that might hatch if you're lucky.
Yep. And that's true, because a lot of my chickens, all my chickens come through the mail from the hatchery, and I buy them by the hundreds. And every now and then, nothing to get, 10, 15, 20 of them that didn't make it, But these hatcheries are good, though, right, Nancy? I mean, they really stand up behind their chickens. They'll replace them.
If you're buying day-old chicks, that's different because you're getting them live.
Yeah.
As long as they get to you in time. Sometimes we have little problems in the mail. I bought some that were live, day-old chicks, and chicks can go for 3 days without eating. Right before they hatch, they ingest the yolk. That will give them nutrition for 3 days, up to 3 days. So they can be mailed when they're hatched, and it'll give them, you might get them the next day or a couple of days later, but as long as they get there within that time, they're okay. I was talking about the hatching eggs, or they're hard to hatch.
Yeah, I've never dealt with the eggs.
Yeah, I had bought Araucanas from a breeder in South Carolina. I did buy about 25 day-old chicks, so they were good.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these, the bigger companies will back them.
Oh, yeah, they all do.
One thing else I wanted to mention, too, before we go is I wanted to mention, give you again our website, our Facebook page.
Yeah, go ahead, Nancy.
Chicken enthusiasts in and around Volusia County. And if you just go to your URL, www.facebook.com /groups/chickenaddicted, and that it should come up. It is a closed group. Just ask to join, and it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. We'll be glad to have you in our group.
Sure. And also, you'd help somebody else in another part of the country that wanted to start their own club. You know, they could get a hold of you.
You can get on there and ask questions about it, how we got started, and you know, how we advertise. And we got a lot of the feed stores now that we deal with that I put flyers up. And Angels Rest up in Ormond, they've got, from their webpage, they have a link to ours for people to join. And, you know, we get people all over that are,
It's getting bigger and bigger every day. I know there's not a week that doesn't go by that somebody doesn't call me with a chicken problem or a chicken question.
That's why we're doing this radio show, Joe. Yep. We're just about out of time for this segment.
Uh-huh.
Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk.
Yeah, we're having a good time here talking about Nancy's Chicken Club and how to start a chicken club and all about chickens and that lay different colored eggs and whatnot. There's just so many different subjects we could cover here, you know, and we'll have to do it, you know, on different shows, you know, really interesting facts and everything about chickens, you know. And, you know, Nancy, I was telling Karen earlier that a chicken can live up to 25 years, which I did research on. I don't know of anybody that's had one for 25 years, but that was interesting, you know, to find that out. Boy, I'll tell you, there's you're getting your dollar's worth out of a pet there.
That's right. Well, it makes sense because, you know, some of the African gray parrots can live to 30 to 40 years, and some of the cockatoos, actually, there's one in Chicago that's 80 years old. So it makes sense. Big birds live longer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, like I say, you know, we'll see how long a turkey can last. I don't know. You know, this old Lucky out here, she's a little overweight. I just hope she hangs in there. You know, I try to get her to exercise, but we'll see how long a turkey can live, you know, because, boy, she's got it made, I'll tell you. she's got the run of her own coop out there, you know. So we'll see how that one works out. But, you know, like I say, on a lot of other shows, you know, that we got upcoming, you know, we'll talk about, you know, feeding, you know, how much a chicken eats and the whole thing. And I get, you know, a lot of questions like that. It's really, really fun. I get school bus tours that go through here and every now and then. And it's fun to hear the kids. You know, the teacher will ask them, you know, my favorite one was is these were middle school kids, you know, how many eggs a day does a chicken lay, you know, and everybody's raising their hand, you know, and they pick them out. And this one kid said, that's easy. They lay a dozen, you know, and I was laughing, you know.
It's little compartments in each box, like you see in the supermarket, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just laugh. And then they ask, you know, well, how many different kinds of chickens are there? And that was the other funny one that I always remembered. And this kid says, well, it's really easy. There's only two kinds of chickens. There's a brown chicken and a white chicken, you know, and I laughed, you know, again, you know, and I said, well, gee, you know, we've got some gray chickens and some black chickens. And he didn't know that, you know, And a lot of these kids, you know, that they talked to a little younger that came through here thought that eggs just came from the store. And that's why they were calling me and saying, can we come through here with a bus tour so they could actually see a chicken, you know, in a hen house, you know, with eggs. So, you know, I do that every now and then, you know, when they call during the school year, is I'll actually leave eggs in the nest so they can come up and actually pick them out themselves. And they get a real big kick out of that. You know, that's a lot of fun, but it's just amazing. I think that, you know, kids today just really don't, you know, think about this, you know. You know, where their food comes from, you know, sort of
and
thing.
A lot of grown-ups don't think about it either. Yeah. So that's why it's good we're going to have this radio show where chicken enthusiasts and just even chicken curious people can call in and ask questions of you because you've done so much research.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, I was just reading the other night about a chicken is born with two ovaries and only the left ovary works on a chicken. The right ovary never matures. And so a chicken always lays the eggs out of the left ovary. And the reason being is they can only produce enough calcium and whatnot in their body. It takes them like 23 to 25 hours to lay an egg, you know. And if they were laying two eggs at a shot, it would kill them. So, but isn't, you know, I think nature is so unique, you know. I mean, make one ovary never develop, you know. I was just reading that, and that just fascinated me. You know, that's kind of research that I like reading, you know, is how they do it, you know. And the other thing a lot of people don't realize that a chicken is born with 4,000 eggs already in them. And they're like little pimples underneath their backbone. And as they move down the line, like an assembly line, every 24 to, you know, 25 hours, you know, an egg comes out. You know, it goes down and it gets the shell put on it. But, I mean, they'll never lay 4,000 eggs, but they come equipped with 4,000 eggs. You know, or around 4,000 eggs. You know, I thought that was another interesting thing about chickens that people didn't know, you know.
And that it's not an infinite supply.
Yeah, you know. And, then the other thing I was reading the other night, you know, you always hear the old saying, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And the real truth is neither, because a chicken is a descendant from a dinosaur.
Yes, I find it so fascinating that in my lifetime, they've discovered more and more dinosaur prints and impressions of dinosaurs with feathers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all learned about the flying ones, the pterodactyls, but then they find smaller ones with feathers, and mm-hmm. there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really interesting, you know. And so, I mean, you know, this article that I was reading was actually saying that chickens have been on Earth longer than humans. You know?
That's right, and we should be good to them, because after all, they were here before us, and we want to make sure we're around long enough to enjoy them.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, it's just that's why I just find chickens so fascinating. You know, it really is. It's just I just read and everything I can find on chickens, and there's just so much that I learn all the time. You know, there's a breed of Egyptian chickens that are immune to the chicken flu, the virus, you know, and that was they're one of the Egyptian chickens, and I was just reading about that a little while ago, where they say you know, they're immune to diseases because they've been around so long. You know, yeah, I find
that's
that
right.
Interesting.
The cradle of civilization had chickens in it too.
Yeah. And I was just curious, Nancy, does anybody else in the club raise any rare or exotic chickens, or am I the only one around here? Or do you know? Is Nancy still with us?
I think we may have lost Nancy.
Ah!
Now, do you have any of the – because sometimes we get chickens nominated for Pet of the Day that are the silky chickens.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. that look pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Do you raise any of those?
Yes, I do. Well, not silkies, but I do have some called white sultans, where you can't see their eyes, you know, and whatnot. Now, silkies are the fine feathers. Mine have the feathers that go in their eyes, and I have one that looks like Phyllis Diller, you know, with a hat, you know. And I'll put some of those on also. You know, I have some of those. Those are called Polish. They're in the Polish breed. And I have some that are black Polish with a white, looks like they're wearing a white wig. You know, those are interesting. You don't see those a lot. Those are fairly rare chickens. And, you know, like I say, those really fascinate me. I can't wait to start, you know, hatching out these chickens, you know, because they're so, I have a book here that lists chickens that are really critical. There's been a lot of breeds that have gone extinct because people just don't, you know, raise them anymore. So they just go extinct. And there's another fascinating chicken in here that I want to get. It's called a black Sumatra, and it flies just like a bird. If it gets out, they can fly up to 5 miles in one clip.
Wow. You know, I was going to ask you if your chickens fly at all or if they're just too heavy in the body. Yeah.
No, but my chickens fly around the side of the coop. I don't know how far they'd fly, but there's some chickens like this Sumatra that if he got loose, he'd just fly away like a, you know, any other wild bird. And I mean, we're not talking about a small chicken here. The roosters weigh 5 pounds, you know, and the hens are, you know, about 4 pounds, you know. But, I mean, they fly just like a bird, you know. So you have to have these really, really in tight. But these are extremely rare. These are considered critical. There's just not many of these Sumatras, but they're beautiful. They have long black tail feathers. You know, so, I mean, you know, there's just hundreds of these sorts of chickens that, God, you know, it's just trying to get the room for them, you know, that I'd really like to save. You know, another one is called a white-faced Spanish. The whole chicken is black, except for it has a white face, looks like a nun, you know. And these are really, really critical. There's only about 5,000 pairs of these in the world, and I have 8 of these. And these get to be pretty big, 8 pounds. And I can't wait for these. You know, these are the ones I'm going to be selling first, I think, you know. But these are really extremely rare. And I really like, you know, the rare, the different exotic-type chickens.
That's right. And maybe somebody who listens to the radio show will be inspired, if they're going to get chickens, to look at some of the rare breeds so that they can help keep these species, these breeds of chickens alive and have – more than your run-of-the-mill chicken. Not that any chicken is not special, but.
Oh, yeah. But there's one chicken I've been trying to get, and there's only 50, I think there's only 50 pair in the world. It's called a Burmese Bantam, and it's white. And these are very close to going extinct.
Well, anything we can do to help conserve and raise the species, I want to thank you for doing the show today. This has been Country Joe's Chicken Show on All Paws Pet Talk.
This has been a lot of fun. And we'll do it again next week. And we'll talk about more chickens and turkeys, ducks and geese and whatever else.
I'm a green chicken.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has, or you suspect they might have, an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.